APFK.org. Welcome to the Voices from the Frontline segment of the 4 o'clock Public Affairs Hour on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and streaming on the web for the world on kpfk.org. My name is Manuel Criollo, and I'm here with my co-host, Eric Mann. We have an incredible show for you today. First, we're going to have Marcy Winograd, chair of the Progressive Democrats of Los Angeles, the local chapter of the Progressive Democrats of America, talking to us about the national and local initiatives to move the Democratic Party away from its current crisis of a lack of a truly progressive leadership and direction. Following that, we'll have Professor Fernando Guerra from the Loyola Marymount University with the Center for the Study of Los Angeles, giving us an impression of last week's mayoral election result and the breakdown of what to expect in the second bout between Antonio Villaraigosa and James Hahn. Then, to end the show, we'll have Dr. Maya Rockymore, Vice President of Research and Program at the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation, who will be talking to us about the foundation's latest report called The Social Security Privatization Crisis, and about Bush administration's intensive campaign inside the black community to push for his privatization plan for Social Security. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with Marcy Winograd.
Hi, everybody. This is Eric Mann. Happy Monday at 4. Hope you told your boss to take off the rest of the day. So I'm here with Marcy Winograd, who's starting a new project, at least I think it's a new project, Progressive Democrats of America, and the local chapter, Progressive Democrats of L.A. Why don't we start by telling us what would form this new structure and what are its politics?
Thank you, Eric. First of all, Progressive Democrats of America began about 7 months ago. They held a parallel convention at the same time that the Democratic Party held its convention. The point being that we're really starting to, we're trying to start a grassroots movement to infuse the Democratic Party with a progressive voice. So what we see is on the national level, Progressive Democrats of America galvanizing people to those hearings that Representative Conyers held into voter fraud and voter irregularities in Ohio, and calling on every Democrat in Congress to oppose the occupation of Iraq. Tim Carpenter, who is the director of PDA, Progressive Democrats of America, has issued that call. And we're also taking a very close look at electoral reform going forward, because it doesn't matter what we do if the voting machines are rigged, if we don't have machines in communities of color, if people have to wait on lines for 10 hours, we don't have a democracy.
Well, let's start with the fact that the word progressive and then the word get out of Iraq are not always mixed, certainly inside the Democratic Party. The word progressive is used to cover everything to the left of George Bush. And when I was asking you before the show, I was a little confused because Howard Dean has his own group called Democracy for America, which he used as a vehicle to get himself elected as the chair of the Democratic Party, which I think many of us think is a, quote, progressive move. But how progressive is Dean, and what would be the differences, what would be the challenges, since he has not touched the war, or rather he's touched the war poorly by saying he supports the occupation?
And I think that's a big misconception amongst even his base. Some people think he is still anti-war. We're hoping that we will push him in that direction. We have a partnership relationship with Democracy for America, which is really Dean's brainchild, and we are dialoguing, talking to his base, talking to him about the occupation, and hopefully we will have some impact. I think that really what Dean has to offer us is a belief in the power of the grassroots to lead this party, as opposed to this top-down structure that has been instituted by the DLC, the Democratic Leadership Council. I mean, ever since Ronald Reagan enjoyed his landslide victory, we've seen people from, well, even John Kerry, Joe Lieberman, saying, look, the only way we can win an election is to be just a little bit to the left of George Bush.
Exactly. And I think one of the things you're going to find, you know, I think you're going to find the same problem with Howard Dean. I think the war is the litmus test. I mean, I want to talk about racism at home, national oppression at home, but I think the war is the litmus test for your own organization, because one of the things, I wrote a book called The 2004 Elections, A Turning Point for the U.S. Left. And in there, it's sort of, the book sort of argued for a united front with the Democrats to defeat Bush, but also pressure on Kerry during the election. And we couldn't get any Democrats to do any pressure on Kerry during the election. It was like, well, after the election. Well, after the election, at the rate he's going, there ain't going to be anybody to pressure. So would you have an anti-war demonstration when Kerry's in town? No. Would you have a pro-abortion demonstration when Kerry's in town? No. Well, how about a civil rights demonstration? Well, I don't think this is the time. So one of the questions to you is, for a new organization, would progressive Democrats, I'm assuming that you're tied to the Democratic Party in some way, how do you dance being part of the Democratic Party and yet openly pushing it to the left and attracting people who don't want to be a half an inch to the left of Bush?
I think you really have to be diplomatic. I think that you have to follow your convictions. And I think that's one of the problems that people sense, that Democrats are disingenuous when they say that they oppose the war, but they support the occupation, that there's a disconnect there. What we are trying to do as Progressive Democrats of Los Angeles is, yes, establish ourselves as a charter club of the Democratic Party. We will be at the Democratic Convention. We will have a hospitality suite at night after the caucuses are finished. And we're going to have a theme which will be more like this. We hope to have Barbara Boxer there, Garcetti, Kuhl, all sorts of wonderful people who have really contributed a lot to the progressive community. And to bridge the gap between those who are anti-war, anti-occupation, and those who are players in the Democratic Party, because unless we push them there, they will never go there. For instance, March 19th, this weekend, right? Yeah. Democrats of Los Angeles, Progressive Democrats of Los Angeles will have its own contingent at the anti-war march. We'll be meeting at the northeast corner of Hollywood and Vine. We'll have our banner. We are right now organizing anti-war delegations, anti-occupation groups to go and visit our congressional representatives. Good. And what we're finding is that there's this incredible lack of understanding, of knowledge of the progressive community. And for the life of us, we can't really figure this out because we're so much a part of what's going on. You know, every weekend it's another film or another protest. And yet when we visit them, there seems to be a shrug when you mention Project for a New American Century. What is that? So what we've done
I'm shrugging. What is it?
Project for a New American Century is a project that was really founded by the neoconservatives, Cheney and Wolfowitz among them, and they issued a blueprint for this New American Century, which called for basically empire building and multiple wars, and everything was described as a chess game.
Well, I mean, just getting to know you a little bit, I mean, you sound great. I think the question now is, can you pull off your tactical plan, though? Because I think that let me tell you what I think the inherent limitation is of your tactical plan. I think you have to have one foot in and one foot out of the Democratic Party. And the out simply means what we call independence and initiative in the Democratic Party. For instance, when I was involved in trying to build a movement against the war in Vietnam, I mean, when I joined the anti-war movement, there were two anti-war Democrats in the Senate, Wayne Morris from Oregon and
Hatfield?
No, it was, I'll think about it in a minute. It was a senator from Alaska who Ernest Gruening. The votes in the Senate were going 98-2. And those guys were getting killed by Lyndon Johnson, squeezed by the Democratic Party, almost pushed out of the Democratic Party. They held their ground. Now, we would have demonstrations at, we called it the Democrats' War. So if Kerry got in, he was talking about adding 20,000 more troops or 40,000 more troops to Iraq. So my question is, would you have a demonstration? In other words, if you're going to lobby privately, these guys or women don't care. There's two things you can do. You can run against them in the primaries, run candidates against the primaries, and beat one of them. If you beat one of them, they'll listen. Just beat one of them or even give one of them a hell of a run for their money. And they'll listen to you a whole lot the second time. So I think you have to consider, I'm asking you, would you consider that? And secondly, would you ever picket or march against a Democrat openly?
Absolutely. By all means. I think as an educator, I have to look at what are the models for really seizing control of a party? Well, why not look at the new right in the Republican Party? After Barry Goldwater was defeated, the new right could have said, well, we're done. Or they could have said, no, you know what? We need to be smarter. And what they did was they did a number of things, one of which was they crafted legislation that was generic, that was written by people, anonymous people. Nobody knew who they were. They were introduced, these bills, they passed, and then they took them to other states. They had model pieces of legislation. They targeted moderate Republicans, and they chased them out of Congress. They raised money, and they targeted the vulnerable ones. They also set up networks through the church and, you know, distributed 40 million voter guides, I think, during the last election. So there are a lot of different tactics. But when we went to Feinstein's office in Los Angeles. I was with Mimi Kennedy, who's on our National Progressive Democrats of America board, Maureen Cruz, a number of other people. And we sat down with her chief deputy. And, you know, we talked and talked and talked. Finally, he said, so what are you prepared to do if she votes for this $80 billion war appropriations bill, which is coming up for a vote right now in Congress? And we said, you know what? We're sick and tired of Democratic politicians acting like Republicans, not listening to us, not listening to their base. And if we have to, we will raise money. We will find somebody to run against you, to run against Feinstein. Now, she's a tough cookie. Maybe there's somebody who is more vulnerable who would set a better example. But absolutely, we have to be ready to do that. And that's one of our committees, is to find new candidates.
Well, that's good. Let me ask you about the racial composition so far of your group. It's in the early stages, but without telling me how many people you have, what percentage of them are white?
Too many. And we're really aware of that. And what we're doing is we're hosting meetups around town. And one of the meetups that we have planned is for April 9th, and it's in East L.A. And we're working with the Coalition Against Militarism in the Schools. The meetup will be at La Paria restaurant from 10 till noon in the morning on a Saturday. And the focus of that will be military recruitment myths and college tips, and try to really connect the two subjects because they are very connected. I mean, kids oftentimes feel like they only have one choice, and that is to join the military. There is another choice. We can have higher expectations. And as an educator, I'm very well aware that LAUSD is the most militarized school district in the state of California. Progressive Democrats of Los Angeles, a few of us just went out the other day. We were at Bravo Medical Magnet, and we distributed leaflets to about 1,700 kids as they came off the bus, and we were there with the peace group. We left, okay? They looked at the leaflets. Some of them read them. Most of them read them, I think. Then we left, and we heard later that what happened was, unbeknownst to us, military recruiters showed up on that campus at lunch. They were surrounded by these kids who asked them all sorts of questions and quoted the leaflets and basically kicked these recruiters off their campus.
Well, that's great, because I think one of the things that, like, for instance, I will tell you that my history has shown that predominantly white groups stay predominantly white groups. And it'll be very hard, if your initial leadership is that way, to think that you'll have a major demographic shift, at least for the short and medium term. But that doesn't mean that predominantly white groups from, is it fair to say, from the West Side?
Yes.
Okay. Can't have good politics about going into South LA and East LA and doing serious outreach there, because you're only a piece of the puzzle. You don't have to be the whole puzzle. But what the two things you've just described are better than a lot of other groups have done, instead of the stupid, well, we don't know why people don't want to join us in Pacific Palisades, you know. I talked to my maid, and she was very tired at the time, but I really wanted to get her involved, you know. So you've done at least a little better than that, although
yes,
you're going to have to, you know.
Yes, and we're also planning on hosting a meetup on electoral reform in South L.A. Some of our steering committee members from Code Pink did a terrific job of producing a few-hour-long look at what happened in Ohio, what's happening in California, what's happening with this legislation that Arnold Schwarzenegger signed. We're supposed to have a verifiable paper trail in 2006. Well, we better be vigilant if we want that. So we're taking this on the road, and we're going to go into other communities and partner with other Democratic clubs. That is my hope, and that, you know, I'm making phone calls.
Well, I think the last thing is that I think you're going to have to, I mean, when you threaten Feinstein, it's like when we threatened Gloria Molina. She's not, we don't see any visible shaking when we threaten her. she's in an electoral district of 2 million people. The LA County supervisors have 2 million people per. It's the most undemocratic district in, you know, probably since the Roman Empire and everything. So when you go to Zev or you go to Gloria, they're saying 2 million people in my district, the only person who could beat me is an established other Democrat who's got millions of dollars, who's doing a term limit thing. You guys are not going to run a candidate in a district this big. So California has how many people now? 30 million plus. 35. So Dianne Feinstein, is that correct?
35.
Dianne Feinstein, when you say we're going to run somebody against you, she says, well, look, I got more money than God. And, you know, and I run so far to the right, it's almost the Republicans don't even really run against me. But I think finding some moderate Democrats and running one good primary, even if you get, 8, 10, 12% of the vote, but you put on a credible, serious, issue-based campaign, is something to think about.
I agree.
You know, and really, you know, that's not what we do, you understand. I mean, our politics are more of what we call independent social movements.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're going to have to hurt somebody. You're going to have to put a hurting on somebody before, as you say, they're going to listen to you.
Right. And hopefully infiltrate the Democratic Party so that we have members at every level of that party, be they assembly district committees, on the executive board, pushing this progressive agenda. And that's one of the other things I did want to talk about, was that we're working with other progressives around California to have a progressive caucus within the Democratic Party, which there isn't one right now. And we really want to pressure the party from within and from without and build partnerships, not just with other Democratic clubs, grassroots clubs, but also with groups like Code Pink.
Which is also very white.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
or Coalition Against Militarism in the Schools.
Okay. No, good.
Less white.
That's good. I know you have Tom Camarello working with you, who's an old friend of ours, worked with the Strategy Center. And how do people reach you? What is your normal meeting structure?
Okay.
Stuff like that.
Well, the way we are organized right now is that we have a steering committee and a listserv, and we want to broaden that steering committee. So as we establish partner relationships, I mean, this is what PDA calls them, partner relationships, where we support each other, we bring in a representative from that group onto our steering committee. You know, I just made a call to the president of the Democratic Club of East LA. I don't know if we will be able to build a partnership. I hope so. Then that person would come and be part of our steering committee. We want to build a huge listserv so that we can be part of lots of mass mobilizations. For instance, the rapid response call that's gone out to protest Arnold Schwarzenegger's visit on Wednesday at the Westin Century Plaza at 5 o'clock. You know, we want to be part of that. And we hope that in time we will have committees. Right now, if you go to our website, our local website, which is pdla.org, and you go to the Join PDLA page, you can input your information and you can look at what kind of committees we have set up and join one of the committees. And all that means is that you're going to organize a meetup, an informational educational meetup, and take some sort of action. And right now the committees that we have, they're really wide open, are Saving Social Security, anti-war work, peace projects in the schools, electoral reform, universal health care, democratizing the Democratic Party.
Well, it sounds good, Marcy, and we're with Marcy Winograd, who's with a new group, Progressive Democrats of Los Angeles, and we're going to stay in touch with you. We're going to kind of follow your progress of this group, and the next time you're picketing a Democrat, please call us.
I will.
Okay?
I'll invite you.
Please invite us, and we'll have you back on the show.
And I just want to add that if there are people listening who are in different communities, by all means, do contact us. We want to build those relationships.
Sounds good. Very nice to have you on the show. We've been with Marcy Winograd. And we'll be right back with Fernando Guerra after this short break. You're listening to Voices from the Frontlines on KPFK Radio, 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 90.7 in Los Angeles. See you in a minute.
Tune in every Monday night with Antonio Gonzalez and the Strategy Session.
Most people who consider themselves progressive have tried working through the Democratic Party. And now we are 20, 30, 40 years later. The party keeps moving further to the right, and there is no progressive wing.
American politics, state and local, with a little Latino flavor to it. That's every Monday night at 8 p.m. with Antonio Gonzalez and the Strategy Session.
This will be the lowest
turnout election in recent California gubernatorial history. Less than 50% of the registered voters are expected to turn out.
That's the strategy session with Antonio Gonzalez every Monday night at 8 p.m.
The system is broken. How do you fix it? What would you do if you were in power?
Only here on KPFK Community Radio for all of Southern California and beyond.